Lonnie, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Yourself?
We're back. I'm doing fine. We're here with the author as well. You're going to do chapter 21, and you can begin whenever the fuck you like.
All right. The two sisters fussed over the dummy, straightening its tie and applying teeth whitening strips. But Mr. Madero was as aggressive as a terrier bandito, and words were echoing in his head that he didn't understand. "The words in my head are driving me batty," he proclaimed. "The words are fucking me over." Fucking him over? And then words moved frenetically through Chris's own mind. Disgustedly, she took paper to pen. But the words ran dumb. "The words are running dumb, Lindy." Huh? The care with which Lindy paid attention to important subjects had waned since she had been relegated to minor character status. Chris was arguing that her beloved dummy had actually come from the land of the cheddar monster vivisectionists, a subject not easily broached when words ran dumb. Mr. Madero is from the land of the Cheddar Mountain vivisectionists, and he's not right in the head. Lindy was already law-lawing in La La Land. It would have taken strong elixir and two pies to convince her that Mr. Madero batted sixth for the Yankees. He was more of a leadoff hitter, or number two guy. "Mr. Madero is from the land of the Cheddar Monster vivisectionists, and he's not right in the head," Chris repeated. "Are you going to wake the fuck up and smell the word arrangement?" "Viva, are you sure he's a vivisectionist and not that he's been vivisected?" What Lindy had was a mean-ass expression and the endurance to sustain it indefinitely. "Hatbox!" Chris screamed. She took her hands from her hatbox and put them around Mr. Madero's neck. Lindy could now see in her mind that Chris had two hands. "Suck my dick!" The dummy refused to chill. "What the Tower Banks?" Chris screamed, looking at her rat's ass of a sister. The ball was now firmly in the doll's corner, except it had been deflated, and somebody was choking the life out of it. The dummy let out a sonorous laugh, but what came out of his mouth were guffaws and then flames. Lindy's hands suddenly were ablaze with the sound of fire. But the dummy's guffaws quickly blew out the fire. Mr. Madero had a lot to learn about being a diabolic dummy. He tried a different tack. "Parents, I have come for your children." And when he said children, he did a little hop. "Yeah? Well, we've come to kick your fucking ass," Chris said, looking to Lindy for support. But Lindy just rolled her eyes and then shook her head, wanting to turn the page on all this evil dummy shit. The dummy knew that a diabolical dummy would take advantage of this rift between the children. No, I can't kick anybody's fucking ass," Lindy said, sounding jaded and not unlike Jacques Derrida. "Jacques Derrida," Chris said, as if it were an exclamation. The dummy started juggling pies in the air, while at the same time patting his head and rubbing his stomach, but no one was watching. "Jacques Derrida? I'm in love with Jacques Derrida!" Chris was now making an exclamation of love for the French deconstructionist. Lindy tried to read a page of Derrida's writing so she'd know what she'd need to take apart her baby's heart. "I'm in love!" Lindy did not understand why she had just screamed that. Could the dummy be the transmogrified soul of the dead French philosopher? Mr. Madero nodded his head and grinned diabolically at Lindy and said, "You don't want to fuck with me. I've got philosophy now." "You've got what?" Lindy said, not catching the scritty polity references that were flying around the room as if they were pies. "I said this house is starting to piss me off." The masculine mannequin lied right to Lindy's face and with his afu brazenness that previously only Chris could muster. "In fact, you're starting to harsh my mellow. Blow me." "You've got what?" Lindy repeated. "He's making shit up. He's trying to sound profound. He's trying to make us think that he's the lost and disembodied soul of Jacques Derrida. He's fucking with your head," Chris philosophized. Mr. Madero turned his head, but his eyes didn't go with it. Now he really looked diabolical. "Hey, how'd you do that?" Chris had been surprised when Madero's eyes hadn't turned with his head. Instead, they now hung there, staring at her unblinking. Apart from the obvious brazenness and chicanery, Chris thought that it was something the nuns had never taught her in catechism. They were too busy smacking the palms of her hands or shackling her hands to her desk and then lecturing her on the pleasures of the palm. The dummy responded with his own declaration, the declaration of less rights. "Violence! Violence!" he said in a tone that suggested he'd been dipping into the oregano. "It's the only thing that will make you see sense." "That's not very philosophical," Chris said, looking at her sister and thinking she had been dipping into her Motley Hoople records. "Why don't you go back to the tried and true blow me? Because you sure as hell are getting banal." Chris was doling out the brazenness where it once had lain dormant, but her segues weren't transitioning very well. In fact, they got up, packed their bags, and walked out of the house. Lindy had been sucking on some bed sheets that tasted like large metallic tires. Her hands trembled when someone mentioned that maybe she shouldn't be sucking on anything that large. Let's go get donuts," Chris said to Lindy, trying to make the dummy jealous. His simmering curiosity started bubbling up to the top of Mr. Madero's head. He hadn't flinched when they stolen his shoes, but he really loved donuts, and he really hated being ignored. Pretending that she was a liger that had been bred for its his soul-sucking skills, Lindy tried to rip the heart out of this surprisingly cultured creature. But Ligers have no heart, and she didn't know where to find Madero's. Mr. Madero threw salt over his right shoulder. You lesbian dyke, you can't marry me. I wouldn't marry you if you were the last podiatrist on Earth, Lindy said with the grime and frustration that had built up within her for the past few decades. And you know what else? Lindy, we don't have time. He's going into his podiatrist material, Chris said. Let's throw his ass in the armoire and lock it and get a starting time at Torrey Pines. You're thinking too much. You can't catch me, the dummy said in a voice as pure as a driven Jack Snow. And if you did, I'd hang myself in the armoire, and my wood would be on your hands. That and I'd sing, Quisera Sera, until you tore me limb from limb. Mind your manners, Chris murmured, reflecting on her lack of reason. What if he didn't have any manners? Lindy existentialized. The dummy rolled his eyes, watching the two girls clamor for clams with each other like a pair of rabid Depeche Modes. In your cases, I'm going to dispense with my rule about no sex with twin girls, the dummy said matter-of-factly. I fucked your parents. I fucked your friends. Oh, yeah, and that detestable dog of yours, Barkley, or whatever the fuck its name. I fucked him so many times that my head was spinning, and we actually got carjacked before I had my seventh orgasm.
Jesus Christ.
Put it in the armoire, now! Lindy was surging with self-righteous indignation, at least until we find the real dummy formerly known as Mr. Madero. You gotta be shitting me, Mr. Madero insisted. You shouldn't provoke my fury. I have powders. You've got what? Lindy said on cue. Powders, I've got powers. And the less you interrupt me, the less likely it is that I'll start singing stupid songs you're setting on my head. The armoire door isn't there anymore. It's been sealed over in lava. Who knew? Chris lamented this latest lava lycanthropic thing, forcing the thing into a lace where it should have been a bookum dam. Oh, sure. How am I supposed to guess that lava had sealed in our fucking armoire? Lindy was flying the past tense at half-mast, and she was sucking so egregiously that part of her plan had been to lock herself in the armoire. Perfect, Chris said. Just abso-fucking-lutely poo-fucking-perfect. Why don't you advertise it, Mr. Madero admonished. You'll make more money off it. Everyone, it seemed, was getting tired of Chris's liberties with the English language. And Chris was getting tired of being treated like last year's Zen Arcade, but she liked the sound system and she liked the Enlightenment. But if people weren't nice to her, she'd go back to talking about her dead camel. The dummy ran to the center of the house and his eyes ran out the front door, leaving Mr. Madero without the eyes to see and without the will to live. You must place your right heel onto your left toe and slide, 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 he said in a dialect of tantric yoga, lifting a hand to smack Lindy. I'm not going to smack you, I'm going to eviscerate you. No, Chris said automatically and then thought, oh, what the hell. She and her sister had been poised to lance Armstrong this dummy. Chris had even taken off her nicotine patch, placing the cigarettes clearly in Mr. Madero's corner. Instead, they pull out pickaxes and mallets. They had met their dentist and they wanted to pummel him. The dentist you hate is really your own sense of self, Mr. Madero said this with such forced agitation and insight that it seemed he had flown on the wings of Pegasus, a prayer, and somehow Shemp Howard. I've been brought here on the wings of Shemp Howard. Now you are all going to die. He continued ranting while Chris and Lindy started attacking the lava with mallet and pickaxe. The lava fell away and the armoire door opened. Now what? Lindy prayed that Chris didn't have a gun.
Oh, yeah. That was wonderful. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. That was great.